One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. And today, we have a very special episode. As you know, if you listen to this show, I coach players to go into The Bachelor and Bachelorette. And before today, none of their identities have ever been revealed. But today, we are humbled and honored to be joined by the first player willing to reveal the fact that we talked about this, that I coached her to go into The Bachelor. She is Miss Michigan, USA 2021, and much more recently, she was just crowned the winner of Big Brother Season 24, the first Black woman to ever win the show in America. Please welcome Taylor Hale.
What's up?
Yes.
Now, obviously, you didn't go into The Bachelor, and we're going to get into all that. You chose a different route in your reality television career. A much better one, I think, at this point. It has turned out to be the correct choice. But I wanted to go back through a little bit of our history, you and me. And I went back through our DMs and I looked to the first one. So the first time we ever had contact was January 1st, 2021. And the DM was from you and it said, love you, love the show. I wanted to scream when you all were going through Mari's profile, LOL. So the first thing that you ever sent to me was a thing about Mari Pepin because you guys were in the pageant circuit together.
So Mari and I mean, we've never even had like a full one-on-one conversation to this day, but we became a trainer together. And so when she, like her last week before she went to compete at Miss Maryland USA, we were in the same Facebook group, about five or six of us. And you know, we're just working out, giving each other small little tips. And when you just know a little bit about someone, you root for them, you're invested in their journey. And she won that week. So I always felt connected to her, even though she and I just don't, like, we don't have one-on-one connection to this day.
But you sweat on the same mat.
But of course, you know, I got familiar with her pageant journey and followed it. And then, of course, being more and more familiar with The Bachelor over time, hearing more pageant girls get into the world and knowing more of their background, it just, when you know so much about a certain thing, I know y'all can relate to this, and people get certain details or don't know all the details, no, you need more information, you're saying the wrong thing. Let me go to the source, let me tell clues that this is not right. I kind of want to scream, but also it's your job in a different world, so let me let the reins up. But, you know, it worked out for you guys in the end. It worked out for her too.
Yeah, indeed. So we start talking about Mari Pepin a little bit. Then this began a conversation between you and I about the pageant world, how it was a feeder system into The Bachelor. And I was super happy to be talking about pageants, like you're saying, getting more information about it, because I consider the pageant world to be an extension of Bachelor, like a precursor to it. But then after looking at your Instagram, I was like, oh my God, she would kill The Bachelor. Like, this is a superstar player. And I started trying to convince you to get into the show, to like allow me to help you get in there. And then we started Zooming and talking pretty regularly about strategy with your PTCs, possible limo exits for what was going to be your entry into season 26, Clayton Eckerd. But then you decided to give Miss USA a shot, wound up winning Miss Michigan. And then we started talking again after that, back in April of this year, about a possible run for Bachelor 27, Zach Shawcross's season. But instead, you decided to, of course, go into Big Brother.
Name in my life until this moment now. So that's how removed I've been from the entire world. Zach, what? What's his name?
Zach Shawcross. Exactly. Well, that I was going to ask
you
that.
Could have been your soulmate.
Not you laughing out loud.
Oh my God. Hey, Big Brother seems like a better way to find love than The Bachelor. So
it has worked out a lot more for the players, the house guests of Big Brother. So I don't know. We'll see. Well,
you just mentioned you've been kind of unplugged from the Bachelor world. Have you seen any of the most recent seasons, like Bachelor at 19 or anything?
No, I haven't seen a single thing. And I know that 19 was airing at the same time as Big Brother, right? Yeah. Over the summer. It's interesting, and we'll really get into this, but there were definitely conversations, open conversations in the house of, oh, you know, I watched The Bachelor and I know it's airing. I wonder what the ratings for The Bachelorette right now are like compared to our ratings on Big Brother. Like, there's compared to The Bachelor world, when you be on the show and talk so openly about social media and ratings, it's just something that we did without consequence. But if I were in The Bachelor, you know, y'all know how that would have gone for me. She's not here for the right reasons. Get her out of
yes.
here.
Yes.
I mean, yes, this is like the middle part of the interview. These are the questions that I've already lined up. You're just answering them now. But yeah, I definitely want to get into a high level of detail about that, because I think with all these reality shows, The Bachelor really is the only one that claims it's not a game. Big Brother is an obvious and open game. And I mean, you know, part of the intro packages of the people on your season, and with every recent season, there are people that have like charts and shit and graphs they've made, and they've seen every season, and they've basically written their own handmade versions of like the book we wrote, How to Win the Bachelor. And that's all encouraged. Those people are threats when you come into Big Brother. It's like, oh, this motherfucker has a whole binder full of charts and graphs and shit. So when you came into Big Brother, did you find those people to be the biggest threats? The people who knew the most about the game and had their strategies pre-planned?
Well, it's funny because first of all, I thought that I would be so despised by the fans, fandom, everybody of Big Brother, because I'm not one of those people. You know, I'm this pageant girl that got plucked out of the pretty world and put into this game of strategy and backstabbing and intense everything. And, you know, being Miss Congeniality and someone who, in my opinion, was just thrown in there to be the hot girl that gets into a showman's, I was like, this fandom's gonna hate me. They don't want me anything to do with me. And I had more respect for the people in the game. It's so funny saying the game in this context, talking to you guys now, but in this game, yeah. I had more respect. Everybody had more respect for them. And yes, I maybe should have seen them as a threat, but also, that's not open conversation when you get in the game. No. Face case, no. What do I call you? Face case, Lizzie? What the hell? This is all weird now.
You can call me whatever you want. I'm in awe just talking to a legend right now.
All the ones that inspired me in the in the first place. But yeah, getting into the game, it is part of their strategy to have all this knowledge, but not be so open about it because they know that they'll be targets. Some people were a little more obvious. Lizzie, you know, Michael, like he couldn't hide that he was a super fan. We all talked to him all the time about what he knew.
When Michael held open the door to not be the first one in the house, I was like, oh my God.
Well, I had some friends that gave me a little bit of information that were super fans of the show. And they said, whatever you do, do not be the first one to walk into the house. And Michael held open the door and I was like, oh no, I'm the next one. So I keep walking and I'm thinking maybe the second door will also be a door I can hold open. It was not. It's a push and open. So I had no choice. Sorry, for anyone who's not familiar, there's a superstition that if you're the first person to walk into the house, you won't win the game. And we entered the house in waves of four, and my group was the second group to walk in. So I was not the first person to walk in through the house, thank God.
It's kind of like limo exits. Let me ask you this. You obviously demolished this game. Did anything we talked about when we were talking about coaching for Bachelor help you at all in Big Brother?
Well, it's funny. I don't want to burst your bubble or discredit any of the work that you guys do, but the games are just so different. So yeah. Anything we talked about as far as, you know, what my persona would have been going into the house or how to navigate certain situations in the Bachelor house or the Bachelor world, it's just like, no, none of that applies to Big Brother. Maybe how you interact with producers. But even then, the producers on The Bachelor have a much different goal than the producers of Big Brother. And obviously I can't speak too much to all of that. But like the makeup of the show is so different too. The Bachelor is something that is edited and cut and aired months after everything happens. Big Brother happens in real time with three episodes per week. So the story that has to be told, the goals are just different from the people that you're talking to when you're working. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can't be a persona and I have 24/7 cameras on me all the time. Like the mechanics of the game are just so different. So who I would have been or could have crafted myself to be in The Bachelor, you just don't have a human opportunity to exist that way in Big Brother. You have to be exactly who you are.
Yeah, the cameras 24/7, I feel like, is the big part of that. Is like you pretty much have to be yourself because putting an act on for 2 months straight is...
You'll get real old real quick.
Exhausting. But there were certain moments where I was like, is that something Clues told her? One of them being the potato chips. Eating the potato chips all the time, having a signature food. I was like, that's something that we've talked about.
You would think, a lot of people have asked me if that's something that I planned on so I can walk out of here with this brand deal. But no, I just love Lay's. Like I really just love Lay's. And it's like, that's my comfort food. I didn't expect it to be in the house. And I will say I miss having just a stock pantry all the time with like lamb chops and salmon and steak and Lay's potato chips. But I would just grab them and there were maybe 3 or 4 bags a week always in there. And I ate them so much that it got to a point where people would ask me, Taylor, can I have some of your Lay's? I'm like, they're the house's chips. Why are you asking me?
I loved it. I also was like, there was some parts, and I guess this is just a Big Brother tradition, but talking to the camera and like talking out your strategy when you're alone, I thought was brilliant. And it like,
it's very so Big Brother because you have those cameras on you 24/7. People are watching you 24/7. So if I'm sitting here in silence and the camera's on me, not only is that boring, the people watching are not really understanding what's happening in my head. Like I have to go talk to other people and communicate things. I have to talk to the camera so that people at home understand what my overall game is like. Yeah. And there were a lot of times where I laid in that bed and didn't say anything. And I was like, oh, Taylor, everything you're saying in your head, you need to be verbalizing so that you don't look like you're just laying around here. Because people aren't going to respect that type of gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that is similar to Bachelor. Knowing when you're on camera and having in your head always like the fourth audience, us, the people watching at home, having that in your head about like, I have to make this good TV. I have to make it so that the audience likes me, the fourth audience. So I think, there are similarities. I see similarities anyway between the two games. Certainly there's massive difference, and what you're talking about is absolutely true. The 24/7 being sequestered in that house, never going outside, all that kind of shit, I'm sure has like a psychological effect that is not present in The Bachelor. And obviously there's not a first audience. The second audience is a little different. Like you're saying, the third audience is way different. But let me ask you this. You made it pretty far into the casting process for Bachelor season 26. And obviously you made it very far in the casting process for Big Brother, all the way onto the show and destroying the show, dominating completely. What did you find to be, as much as you can talk about, what did you find to be different or similar in those casting processes?
That's interesting. I think the casting process of Big Brother is much more about the game. Like they value the game. You are supposed to talk about what you know about the game and how you would approach the game. In The Bachelor, if you talk about the game, I'm sure they're going to pluck you out immediately. It's much more of a personal, who are you? What type of love do you want to find? Like, where do you come from? That's the element in Big Brother casting, but like, no, it's about what are you going to do to win the money at the end? That's the goal. What is your approach to navigating these different scenarios? Whereas with The Bachelor, there's, I'm sure, an element that everybody's aware of, but that's not brought up in casting. That's about there for the wrong reasons, if that's the case.
Yeah.
You okay?
Did you have what was the game strategy that you talked about going in? Did that change once you were actually playing?
Sure. You know, I talked about how I was so used to being the nice girl because of pageants. I was so used to having to be the perfect person all the time because of pageants. I won Miss Congeniality. Like, I'm known for being kind. But I wanted this little idea that I could be free to be whoever I wanted to be in the house was really exciting to me. So if I wanted to be a villain that could have been valued in the house, if I wanted to be like a comp beast, a competition beast that would have been valued in the house, like being—
Wait, did you say a comp beast?
Oh, that's what they call it. A competition beast, a comp beast. Yeah.
Who calls it a comp beast? Is that from the fourth audience of Big Brother?
Maybe from the fourth audience. It might have originated in the game itself. I'm not a historian of the game, unfortunately, but that's part of the lexicon.
I love that fucking term, comp beast. God damn it.
It's just the standard lexicon now. Okay. It's standard that in one of our comps, there was a energy drink called Comp Beast Juice, like Comp Beast Energy. So like this relationship is so well acknowledged with Big Brother and their fans. The language, the verbiage, it's all intertwined. But yeah, if I wanted to be a comp beast, if I wanted to be a villain, if I wanted to be someone who played strictly a social game, a strategy game, those were things that were, I was free to do it and talk about it openly. I ended up having to play a completely different type of game, only social. And I played this game on fucking like super mega duper hard mode the entire time. But you have to be adaptable to this game.
And absolutely.
You know, I could only adapt based on who I am as a person.
I love Big Brother and I've watched a lot of seasons of it, but this is the first season I've watched knowing who was going to win. So the first couple blocks, I was like, I was so nervous for you, even though I was like, I know that she's not going to get kicked out, but you were on the block so much at the beginning, like definitely.
Great amount of time. Yeah. Now, Lizzie, did you watch in real time or did you just go back and super binge it this weekend?
I hyper binged it this weekend. And I had seen like maybe some things on Twitter, like people making fun of who was the girl who got injured?
Oh, Jasmine.
Jasmine and her like walking around the house. but that was the only thing I had remembered seeing before I started watching. And then I just knew that you had won. And I think I knew Monty was in the final two with you. Mm-hmm. So I was just like watching how that was going to happen. And you guys were on other sides of the house at certain points. And then, you know, we'll get to it. But oh my God, what a fun season to watch.
Yeah, before we get into Monty and all that, which I would also argue there's some Bachelor play going on with Monty here and there. I mean, we can discuss. But before we get into that, I want to know about your just kind of your general relationship with reality television. What was your reasoning for A, wanting to go on The Bachelor, and B, wanting to go on Big Brother, and just generally be in reality TV?
So I remember, like anybody else who ends up on The Bachelor, I was at work one day and everybody at work watched the show. And I was a very casual fan of The Bachelor. And one of my coworkers and one of my friends, now I've learned, both sent in applications for me to go on the show. This was 2020 when the pandemic was happening. I think ultimately that would have been for Matt's season, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I got contacted, sent a video, didn't go anywhere. Next season, because during Matt James' season, that's when I discovered you all, I was like, okay, let's see if I can take this seriously. And so that's when I kind of got in the game for applying, because that producer actually reached out to me again and said, hey, resubmit your application. Let's see if you could have a second go. That's how that worked out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was in the pageant world. I was a personal stylist. I had all these things happening. And I just kind of felt like, okay, I could run my own personal styling company and be a big local person, or I could take a break from reality and see what life is
going to be. In reality TV.
In reality TV. And, you know, I know a lot of people get a lot of flack. Oh, like, there's no value in going on TV, or you just want to be famous, or you just want to get a quick buck. And it's like, oh, I mean, I could see what life could be different. So why wouldn't I explore that if that's an option in front of me? And I was just most familiar with The Bachelor. And if love is something I could get out of it, why not? Like, did I go in here with open eyes and puppy dog eyes saying, I'm the love of my life on The Bachelor? Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? But there's definitely different routes and venues that can come from being on it. So I was like, okay, let's give it a go and see what can happen if my life is different. So, you know, Bachelor starts happening and I'm kind of realizing this whole going on TV for love thing, I don't know. And having to keep up, not talking about what's happening in the real world. Like, I love talking about politics. I love talking about really difficult, hard-hitting topics. So to be in a world where all of that is completely suspended and not explored, it just felt like not for me. And while I was a title holder, in February of this year, I got a DM from the casting director and they asked me about going on The Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. And I immediately said, I've never seen The Amazing Race. And I don't want to ruin any of my friendships or relationships by going on a travel around the world show. But I did watch Big Brother last season with The Cookout. And for anybody who's not familiar, The Cookout was an alliance of six Black people. That was the first season where they even had six Black people on the same season. And they decided to make an alliance to make sure that we could have the first Black winner of Big Brother ever after 23 seasons. They united, they won. Xavier was the first Black person to win the show. And so when I was contacted after watching that season a year later, I said, okay, well, I watched the season and I really liked it. Sure. What about Big Brother? And as I went back and I started watching more seasons, I saw that Black women in particular were just, I mean, dragged through the mud by their house guests. They were ostracized. They were alienated. They were called every stereotype in the book. And they were evicted very early on in the process. So I thought, okay, if I'm going to go into this show where there's a camera on me at all hours, and it's happening three times a week on TV, on primetime TV, I have to have a bigger reason for why I'm going into this game. And I said, okay, I'm going to play this game for all the Black women who deserve to go further in the game and deserved to win and just couldn't do it. And so I went in there very openly saying, this is why I'm playing the game. And if you have a problem with it, then that's on you. But I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to exist the way that I am and take this all the way to the end because it's what we all deserve. And ended up winning on the 20th anniversary of Danielle Reyes sitting final two. She's another Black woman and not winning. And that's the closest the Black woman's ever gotten to winning the game. So it was all very, very poetic.
God, wow. Damn, that's fantastic. And like everything you're saying, that this is why I'm going in here for this reason, which is obviously incredible. You could never do that on The Bachelor. You could never say that to a casting person and have any shot at getting in. God damn.
And I've always been a very transparent person and like my needs, desires, wants. Even in the pageant world, I would say, no, I'm entering this pageant because I like it, period. Like I'm entering this because I want to win and I want the $100,000 that comes with winning Miss USA and being a powerful Black woman and having a title. Like there's always a why for me and I'm always vocal about it. So having to maybe go on The Bachelor and do that, it just it wouldn't have worked out for me because everything has to be in code in that world.
Totally. I remember talking to you very early on about like one of the first questions that I ever ask anybody that I'm coaching to go into that game is, why do you want to do this? And I remember your answer was like, I don't know. I just kind of want to go in and see what could happen, get my Instagram followers up. Like that was about it. And I was like, no, no, no. You're going into this thing to become the Bachelorette. Like yeah. I remember trying to convince you of that, you know? And I was like,
do you think I could be the Bachelorette? I was like, are you kidding me? Me?
Yes. He believed in you. I remember he sent me your Instagram.
Yeah. And look, it turned out I was right. You're one of the most dominant champions of Big Brother in the history of the fucking game. You could have been the Bachelorette easily, I think. But again, you made the correct choice, obviously.
Maybe still could.
I don't think the networks are going to want to cross over like that.
No, I did not watch the cookout season, but it was so interesting this season because it ended up being a huge part of the plot as well when Kyle is making errors left and right talking about, oh, we gotta better watch out. Hint, hint.
Another cookout this year. And I was in Kyle's alliance. So we made an alliance called the Leftovers because a lot of us in different capacities felt like we were left out of the larger actions happening in the game. I was the last person brought into this alliance. We solidified it, locked in, and it completely turned the season around. But Kyle played a very paranoid style type of game. And he ultimately thought that, you know, we would always talk about what our whys were being in the game. And mine, first Black woman, Joseph wanted to be the first Arab man. And a lot of people of color had similar-ish whys. And he took that and he ran with it and thought, the people of color are going to come together. We got to be aware because the cookout happened last season. We just need to know what's going on. He never said, I want an all-white alliance, but he definitely named only white people to be in his alliance. And it sucks because I really love Kyle as a person. I think he's hilarious and fun and I really got along well with him. But, you know, we had some nice conversations on why he thought and acted on racist beliefs. And I trust him to do the work outside of the house. I won't be his teacher, but I know he'll do the work.
No, I thought that was, I don't know. It's just something we never see on Bachelor. There's barely any discussion of race, even though it has a very similar history where people of color didn't do well for many years. There were a couple people who got through, but not really in the same way as Big Brother. And, you know, what happened on Matt James's season?
Matt James's? What happened on this most recent season?
Absolute shit show.
Absolute shit show, yeah.
Have you heard about anything that's been going on Bachelorette 19 with, what is that one guy's name? Eric Schwer.
No, all I know is that there were two of them, two girls, and I was like, woo, Gabby Rachel, what, Wendekia, yeah. Let's go. And the last I saw was the convertible ad. That's the last I know of Bachelor World. And then coming out now, I know that somebody cheated on somebody, I guess.
That's in there. There's also a giant racism scandal, as I'm sure you can imagine. There is every season now. And there was a big one this season, too.
The ring winner had a photo of him in blackface emerge from high school.
And these ring winners are like, they're like my age now. We knew better. Dude, come on.
Yeah. And then at the after the final rose, they made this guy answer for allegations that he was dating somebody right up until the time going into the show. But they did not bring up the blackface issue at all. And they had Michelle Young sitting in the audience as part of kind of like an impromptu Council of Crowns. And she has come out basically at this point and said she thought they were going to talk about it. And so she's super pissed off. Everybody's super pissed off at them for it. But they're just sweeping it under the rug, not addressing it at all, of course. Move on to the next season. Here is Zach Shawcross. He's your new Bachelor. And by the way, one player has already been eliminated from that player pool because they found some kind of... What was the thing she posted on Facebook? I even forget what it is now. It was some kind of apologist post about a rape case, I believe. But then there are also a bunch of players who are now coming out. There's pictures of them in like head-to-toe MAGA gear and all this kind of shit, you know.
Oh, was it about Brock Turner?
It was a Brock Turner apology post, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? and that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my... which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no roll back waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies. Comfort. From the outside in. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals. And preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co. with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
That's what it was.
Of all...
don't you wish you had gone on The Bachelor?
Yeah, come on. There's still time.
Better.
But let me ask you this. Did you base your play style or your persona style on any other reality stars? Like, were you drawing from other performances from Bachelor, from Big Brother while you were in there?
Definitely from Big Brother, because, you know, that's encouraged by the fan base, by the people you'll be working with. It's like, okay, who can we kind of expect you to be like? Or even when you're doing interviews before going into the house, it's okay, who are your favorite players? Or what type of play style do you really like? So I drew out Danielle Reyes' name because she's just like mother icon queen. Janelle, she's a comp beast. I love her, and she's super.
Janelle's one of my favorites.
Yeah, so you can understand, she's super feminine, super girly, loves pop culture, but dominates the game and just kills it in competition. So that's exactly who I thought I would be coming in. I thought I'd be this like big fun personality. I thought I'd be the super bubbly girly girl that also just dominates the competition. And it took a while for me to get there just because of the circumstances I was forced under. But, you know, my style is my own style. And I had to play a majority social game, not strategy, not competition. I had to play majority strategy, or social, because I was put at literally the lowest position in the social game. I had no choice but to play a softer, gentle, more gentle style.
You were a comp beast when you needed to be.
Yeah, come on.
I would also argue your final speech to the other players to win the final vote was not soft or gentle. To me, it was like presidential. I was like, that's the next fucking president of the United States. The speech is insane. I mean, it was so fucking good. And didn't you win? If I remember right, you only got one vote against you.
Yeah. And that was the last person that was eliminated moments before I gave that speech. And because, you know, he wasn't at jury roundtables. And right. Honestly, part of my game was making sure that the person that I thought would most likely have the power to make that decision in the end of who would sit final two, I wanted Monty to be so afraid of Turner beating him out that he thought he had an easy win on me. And, you know, that worked out.
I can't believe Monty picked you over Turner. I mean.
But that's a testament to your gameplay.
Yeah.
You made that happen. I mean, it was flawless, just flawlessly executed. Speaking of Monty, you had a romantic relationship with him in the course of the game. Was any part of that? In your mind, as you're playing it, was there any part that was like, this is kind of like The Bachelor? I'm using some Bachelor techniques here.
No, actually. Because it's different risks, different stakes between the Bachelor and Big Brother. I mean, this could have flipped around and bit me in the ass very quickly. And I want to make it very clear. Like, I never got physical. Romantic is a reach. That's a big reach. Like, I never got physical with Monty. For the sake of the game. I never flirted with Monty for the sake of the game. I flirted with Monty because I was 70 something days in the house, horny as shit. Like, you just like, really know I couldn't make it on The Bachelor. So, you know, for the purposes of The Bachelor, you learn about someone and you work their angles so you can win the game, win the ring, be the next crown, whatever your goals are in The Bachelor. But when it comes to Big Brother, a showman's can ruin you. It can destroy you. Like Kyle and Alyssa are like, oh my God, they're so lucky we never put them on the block next to each other because that's just an easy way to pick people off in the game to get further. So when Monty and I are getting physical, we're getting to the end of the game, I'm thinking if we have one sour interaction, even though we've locked in a final two for other reasons, if we have one sour interaction, he can flip a Turner over me. He can flip a take Brittany over me. Like, when you're down to final four or five, it doesn't matter if you like people or not. It just matters if you think you can beat them. So I don't care what word I've given in the context of this game. I'm thinking, you know, from not me personally, from a Big Brother person, it doesn't matter if I've given someone my word. It just matters how far I can take them. So you're really massaging every relationship as much as you can invest into yourself to get to the final two seat. And yeah, you know, I'm going up to the HOH room or having someone come up to my HOH room. And this is a big risk, like a very big risk. But, you know, my approach in managing that wasn't any different from talking or interacting with anybody else. Monty said he needed his ego rubbed. So I rubbed that ego down. Turner, like, throw out with other people. I know there's a double entendre there. I did not mean that. but Turner, more of a bro's person. He's like kind of like a big bro. So I just broed out as much as I could with him. You have to adapt to what people want you to be. And that's kind of a little bit like a chameleon in that aspect. So it's just about building those interpersonal relationships, which is what The Bachelor really is.
Yeah.
You're focused on one person. I had to do it with more people. And the romantic aspect of it was more of a risk than a reward where it would have been The Bachelor.
Yeah,
you had a second showmance on the show, which was Joseph. Can you tell us any more about that? I think it might still be going on. Is that true?
We're not hiding anything. Like, we're not in a relationship. He's not my boyfriend right now. But yeah, we have been rewatching the show slowly together. We're staying in the same house together right now. But it's funny because as we're watching the show, we can see the connection that we had or just how adjacent we were game-wise and personally from the very beginning of the show. I mean, even we accidentally saw each other just outside when we were walking into the house for the first day of the move-in. His golf cart showed up too early and I turned around and we locked eyes and I was like, oh, never mind. Like, don't look at this person. But we worked really, really well together game wise. Like socially, we were very parallel minded. I was better at competitions. That boy could not win a competition. So, you know, but like when it comes to an actual showmance, we wanted to keep that as much on the down low as possible because we knew that it would put a target on us. He's so special to me. Like Joseph is so, so special to me. And it's interesting now being outside of the house and reconnecting and exploring this real romance because there's a whole fandom of jailers that are so invested in our relationship. And like, you can't tell these jailers anything. It is do or die, jailer or bust. And like, I'm with them. But now I understand the pressures that people coming out of The Bachelor understand or feel. Like those people are locked into a relationship and have the pressures. He and I are not even fully committed to each other yet. We want to take the time to make sure our heads are okay. We want to go to therapy individually. We want to go to therapy together to make sure that we're navigating everything all right. But there's so much pressure from these fans. And if I'm doing it on the scale coming out of Big Brother, which, I mean, let's be honest, like the scale of the fandom is not as big as The Bachelor, but the craze and the hype, it's unlike anything from what I've been told, unlike anything that people in this franchise have seen before. So it's really interesting, really, really interesting seeing what that balance is like. But I get it. And I have a lot more sympathy for the couples coming out of The Bachelor now.
That is actually a question I had was, do you guys have access to a therapist while you're shooting?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a therapist available. So, you know, the diary rooms, you just go in the diary room and say, hey, I want to talk to the therapist. And you can go to the diary room that's upstairs.
And is that therapist, I mean, this is something that I've long wondered and thought should exist if it doesn't. Is that therapist specifically trained or do they know more about reality TV and social media and all that kind of stuff than like a regular therapist might?
I'm trying to protect the identities of these people.
Of course, of course.
I really do have a lot of love and respect for them. And that's another thing to talk about, just the relationship with producers. We'll get to that in a second. But so the therapist has actually worked on other reality shows. So they understand what it's like being in a reality show. They understand what it's like coming out of a reality show. They know what it's like if you are going through a racism scandal and you're in the show or coming out of the show. They understand what it's like if you are being bullied and in the context of the show. So it was actually really helpful talking about certain things. You know, I'm sure I could talk about it. What I talked about to her, it's my experience, but the Horror Fest comp that we did that I tapped out of, you know, I had a classmate of mine when I was in kindergarten that was murdered by his own family in his home. So and nobody knew that. I didn't tell anybody that, but this Horror Fest comp was about a killer being on the loose and you're at the house and you have to save yourself. And it was very traumatizing for me. Like literally my worst nightmare is anything horror themed. I don't like forced fun. Like I always kept or forced fear. I hate forced fear. It's not my thing. So I'm crawling through this goop and gunk in the dark. And there's an audio of a woman screaming saying, he's coming to get me. And I was like, no, this is not for me. But I was able to talk to the therapist about that night. The entire crew and staff was so gentle and kind and gave me the space and patience to manage what I was going through. So yeah, they understand the context of what it is. It's not just, here's a therapist that'll help you in real life. No, this is specific to your reality TV experience. And we want to best prepare you for what you're experiencing here and what you'll be experiencing outside the house.
God, that sounds incredible. And I don't know if that exists in Bachelor. I don't know what those therapists are like or the one that they use. My own attitude about it, my own conjecture is that therapist just tells the producers everything that you tell them. I don't know if that's true. It probably isn't.
That's probably illegal.
Yeah, it's probably illegal, but it's great to hear. I want to go back real quick. You mentioned that you discussed The Bachelor in Big Brother. Mm-hmm. What were you talking about? And were other people talking about it too? What was the attitude of The Bachelor in that Big Brother house?
You didn't watch the live feeds, Chad?
You don't even have to watch. What is up with this? My God, just disrespectful. So we talked about it like we talked about any other TV show. It's like when you're talking to somebody and you say, hey, like, what do you watch? What are you into? Mm-hmm. And another one of the house guests, Alyssa, she's like, oh, you know, I like The Bachelor and I like these people from The Bachelor and I watch it. We talked about knowing that The Bachelor was airing at the same time. We talked about wondering what the ratings would be like, but there's two Bachelorettes now, how that works. We talked about how Big Brother, because we just knew the season was batshit. We were like, there's no way that this season of Big Brother is not getting some serious summer ratings. And we were like, it wouldn't shock me if Big Brother ended up being something that beats out The Bachelorette because of the time that it's happening. It's different that The Bachelorette normally happens. They're doing new things in The Bachelorette. Like, we're really comparing what these networks are doing, what the fanfare would be like. And then sometimes we would talk about, we would ask people what other shows they would go on. Which, could you imagine being in The Bachelor, Bachelorette and saying, I could see you on the show or you should go do this show?
No.
That lie of The Bachelor is really, I think, why we ever even started our show or wrote a book about it or see it as a game, because we saw what we perceived the truth of it to be, which it is a game. It's like Big Brother. It's like Survivor. But the show claims it's not. And if any of the players say this is a game, you're fucked. That's it. That's for the wrong reasons. Get the hell out of here. And it's, to me, that there's something in that lie of it that I feel needs to be exposed. And so that has generated all of this. Why we're even interviewing you now. But, you know, you mentioned earlier social media and that that was part of what you can talk to a therapist about. What has your relationship with social media been like? Like, when did you get your first account? What was it? And how do you use it now?
What was my first account? It was probably, I mean, if we're talking social media, like, yeah. I gotta go all the way back. I would consider email social media. And
oh, damn. A purist.
Yeah, a purist. She's born in 94, baby, of course. I had that AOL dial-up, that mom, pick up the phone, get off the internet, like, you're messing with dial-up. So I would start with email. That was the first way I was able to connect with people. And then that turned into AIM. Some people call it AIM. I think that's weird. And, you know, I would make screen names on screen names on screen names just out of convenience. I forget what all my screen names were. So then from AIM, we went to MySpace, I think. I should not have had a MySpace when I had it, but I was nosy. And then that transitioned to Facebook. And if we really want to get into like messaging systems, BBM was big. Everybody at my high school had a BlackBerry. And then there was the transition to iPhones and the iMessage. So yeah, Twitter came along when I was in high school. And there are very specific things I remember about Twitter. You know, waking up in the morning during midterms or finals, and the guys would always tweet things like, I hate midterm and final season because the girls show up to school without makeup and it makes my life miserable.
Like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Twitter was like wild, wild west. People said anything. And that's why I'm not surprised when people get canceled for their tweets from, I mean, over 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years I was in high school. So 10 plus years ago, because we were all little assholes on the internet. There were no rules or expectations. We were all dickheads. You just have to be smart enough to delete your stuff because you don't align with it anymore. But no, I digress. And then Instagram came out when I was a senior in high school. And as I got to college, that's when Instagram really started dominating everything. And now we're in the TikTok era. But it's really interesting because Big Brother's platform of choice is still Twitter. Like, the discourse is fully on Twitter. There's no TikToks for Big Brother, Instagram, not really. Like, the major discourse is prominent on Twitter. So, you know, I think it's interesting if people want to enter the game for fame, your fans are mostly going to be on Twitter. Like, you can't monetize off of that in the way that you would monetize on an Instagram or TikTok. I even did a poll the other day because Joseph and I have been going live when we watch these episodes back. Said, hey, like, should I keep going live on Instagram? Should I try out TikTok? What do you think? And all the responses were overwhelmingly Instagram, Instagram. Don't make us download TikTok. We don't go on TikTok. So it's fascinating seeing.
Really? I think we need to get the jailers making some edit videos.
Okay, there are a lot of edit videos, but again, those edits are on Twitter. They aren't posted to TikTok.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
I'm going to start making some.
Do you think it's like Big Brother because it's on network TV still? And I think Bachelor is in some ways succumbing to this too. Is it an older audience?
I think the audience, I think the sample size is probably the people that we saw in the house. A lot of the younger people in the house, maybe outside of Alyssa, it's like the younger 20s people. people, they didn't really grow up watching Big Brother. They just ended up knowing about it or heard about it or were contacted about it. But the people who were like late 20s and older, they grew up watching Big Brother and that they loved it, or it was so crucial to time that they shared with their parents. It's maybe the audience does skew older, and I don't know. It's fascinating because the jailer fans are like little 14-year-olds and I love them, but the fans of Big Brother probably does skew older. So it'll be interesting to see if there's a real effort to kind of reach out and connect to a younger audience, or maybe that's us guests to do that. Maybe that's my job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that poll that you're talking about, I think kind of speaks to that, that you're like, should we start doing TikTok? And they were like, fuck no, don't make me download TikTok, let alone make an account or look at videos. Don't make me put the app on my phone. That's an old audience, in my opinion.
Definitely.
Or they're like, I'm too young, I'll have to pretend I'm old to download it. We did not talk about your numbers, but you now have 218K on Instagram. That is phenomenal. How does it feel to be in the 200K club?
It's like mind-blowing because I remember this is something we talked about openly in the house. Alyssa went in with around 60,000 followers. Michael, Comp Beast Michael, had like significantly under 1,000 followers. It just, the incentive to go on the show to gain Instagram deals and, you know, brand deals, et cetera, is just not there. Because the people who go on the show respect the integrity of the game much more than the opportunity to be an influencer. And that's why I thought that people would hate me, why fans would hate me. Not because I was fame hungry, but just because it's the world I come from, pageants and everything.
Yeah.
Pageant adjacent.
Yeah. And when I would talk very openly about, like, it was just the common discourse. Yeah, I have 5,000 followers. Yeah, I have 60,000 followers. Yeah, we should all start a podcast. And what opportunities can come from this? Like, those were open conversations that nobody would jump on other people for having. It was just, wow, like, I'd love to dive into this and help you grow yourself outside of here. How can we all collaborate to make sure we keep growing and doing better things? And that wasn't really something that people were upset about. And it doesn't seem like the fans were mad about it either. So it was a weird mind shift going from a fan mostly of The Bachelor and then understanding the game of Big Brother and being like, no, it's not a bad thing because we're talking about this as a game and we acknowledge that it's a game. We can get whatever we want. I will also say, I think it's just a trend of network television in general, but yes, I'm very excited and grateful to walk out with over 2,000 followers on Instagram. That's insane. But if this were 3, 4, 5 years ago on any network television show, people would be walking out of the house with 500,000 plus followers. And yeah. I think that's the nature of the dominance of streaming in our era, as opposed to network reality TV. Like, you just don't get the same numbers as you used to. And maybe it's because Instagram is dying. I don't know. Maybe it's because TikTok is picking up. The transition between what you gain hard numbers wise coming out of any network show is different. I don't know. Maybe you guys can tell me about what the numbers look like for The Bachelor, because I don't know.
They're horrible.
Yeah, they're tanking.
Really? Yeah, I'd assume if I was on Bachelor, I'd walk out with 500,000 followers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And I won Big Brother, right? So it's interesting.
We're only seeing those numbers on like Love is Blind, some of the streamer shows, Too Hot to Handle, season one. That is interesting because I'm like, I never really looked into the Instagram numbers of Big Brother. I would think that the winner would have 500, a million, just if I were to guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's also, you know, other factors that are in that as well. As you're the first Black woman to win, we see Black women on The Bachelor get way lower numbers. Rachel Lindsay was the first Bachelorette to not hit a million in many years.
Yeah, it's also interesting because I'm the first Big Brother winner to also win America's Favorite Player. So all this fanfare around, you know, the rallying behind America. And again, I'm not saying I'm ungrateful or criticizing this. I just think it's very interesting how social media numbers wise has shifted, but the relationship that you build with the people who are following you is so much stronger. I mean, like, my phone is blowing up with the stop. They're like Taylor fans, Jailer fans. They're amazing and dedicated. And I think the relationship that I'm building with them is so much more valuable than if I had 500,000 plus followers, but no real connection there. So it's new to navigate. It's only been 2 weeks of this for me. And that's another thing, right? Everybody else gets to see that growth happen in real time. I walk out of the house and boom, it's already there to the maximum. So it's
Yeah. That reminds me of a story that Adele once told about the whatever that album was that had Rolling in the Deep on it. It came out when she was on a plane and she like hit the ground and it was insane. She was like the most famous person in the world over like, it took 6 hours or whatever of this flight. And then like, and she walked off the plane. She was like, what the fuck? My entire life is now completely different. Let me ask you this. You talked about you're in the house and you guys are talking about very openly how to help each other hit the next level and do social media with each other, podcasts or whatever. What is next for you? How are you going to leverage this championship into whatever the next phase is in your life? And what is that phase?
It's been very overwhelming. My email has blown up with all these press opportunities. I was just filming Bold and Beautiful a couple days ago. I am very lucky in the way that CBS has taken care of me because they really have just been so awesome and kind and uplifting and supportive through the whole experience. And it's kind of like, I can ask for whatever it is that I want and people are willing to help me. Mm-hmm. Ew, emotions. not something that I thought I would experience coming out of the house because you guys saw the hell that I went through in that house. It was really traumatizing. There were days where I would lay in that bed and just look up and say, get up. Like, you have to wake up. You have to get out of bed. And it's not because of the circumstances that were set by the producers. It's just the nature of the game and how people talked about me and perceived me incorrectly at first. So to be in that environment where I felt so isolated and alone for a very long time, to walk out with everything at my fingertips, with Lay's knocking on my door saying, we need to talk to you immediately. I was just eating the chips because it was fun. And now I have a
dream.
Yeah, it's an actual dream. I need that Balenciaga Lay's collaboration bag. but I've also very openly on the show continued to say, I want to be in entertainment news. I want to be in entertainment. It's something that I need. And I can't say too much, but people at CBS have reached out and said, okay, let's get that ball rolling.
God, that's awesome.
You know, it's just an handoff because I've asked for it and I've spoken into existence and I was literally just myself the whole time, good, bad, and ugly. And people are still choosing to say, whatever it is that you want for the rest of your life, we will help you get there.
The stark contrast between what you are saying as essentially, I would put like what you've done in that game in the same category as like some of the greatest crowns or ring winners of all time in Bachelor. And when you're looking at these players who are now coming out of this game, like we'll take, for example, Gabby Windi and Rachel Recchia, the two most recent dual bachelorettes, I cannot imagine them saying what you just said about ABC, Warner Brothers, NZK. They wreck their fucking leads in that show now. And so to hear this, that a different game treats it completely differently. They understand the value of someone like you, a superstar who walks in, changes the game, gets everybody talking about it. They want to help promote you because they see value in what you've done, value in you. Whereas I think in Bachelor, the only value they see in any player, ring winner, crown, regular season, floater, whatever, is how can we destroy this person and make them cry? And I don't know if that's because the producers are petty and they like causing misery on these people, or if it's just what they think the game is now. But goddamn, it's so refreshing to hear this coming. Like, this is your reaction to your experience. I'm so happy for you, and I cannot congratulate you enough for all of this. But that's also fantastic.
And I appreciate you joining us in your very busy time to come on Game of Roses.
It started with you guys. I understood the mechanics of reality, what it takes to get into reality TV from you all. You know, you all saw whatever you saw in me, but just approaching this not as something haphazardly, but as something that needs to have intent behind it.
When we first started talking, like I said, I saw in you the greatest champion that would ever come into our beloved game. And it turns out you were instead the greatest champion to ever go into another beloved game. It wasn't our beloved game, but nonetheless, I still, you know, like I said, when we first started talking, I was like, God damn, she has got that thing. And indeed, you do. So despite the fact that you have said none of my training helped you in Big Brother, I'm going to take this as a feather in my cap as well. Congratulations to you on all of your successes, but I claim some small part of it for myself.
I won't be mad. I will not be mad at that.
Thank you. Yes. And the offer is still open. If you ever want to go into The Bachelor or Bachelorette, let me know.
Do you think that offer is there? That offer is not there at all. If
you don't need it, you're going to transcend.
First of all, y'all seen Joseph?
Yes. Look, we're jailers too. We're hardcore jailers. And I also appreciated that Joseph kind of had a similar strategy to you. He was like, oh, I'm just like the pretty guy. I'm going to fake being bad at chess.
Yes, the whole lawyer.
Yeah.
A whole lawyer. I appreciate that, the parallel storyline there.
It works out. It works out in the end.
But we have nothing but well wishes for you and Joseph.
Me and my $1,000, yes.
and all of your money and whatever's next. We're going to be watching you. We're going to be listening to you if there's a podcast and whatever this entertainment news reporting type stuff is. We're definitely going to be keeping our eye on that. But we can't thank you enough for joining us. And yeah, it's just a surreal experience for me. I'm sure it is for you on a level that I can never understand. But even for me, sitting here watching you on television do all of this shit, it's absolutely incredible. And despite the fact that The Bachelor is, it's getting to a point where it's like, it's hard to watch. Seeing what you have done in Big Brother is like, it has brought me some of the most joy of all time.
Well, thank you. That means a lot, because you just don't know what or how the season's going to be received when you're on the outside. So knowing it had the impact that it did, that's why I went in the game. I did the thing.
I'm going to cry.
As Pace Case does some tear play, I will say thank you once again for joining us, everybody. This is Taylor Hale, the champion of Big Brother 24, first Black woman to ever win the game.
Go watch the season if you haven't already. It's fantastic, even if you're spoiled already by this podcast.
Spoiler alert.
You need to spoil to get through it, that's for sure.
Well, thanks again. And yeah, good luck with everything.
Taylor. Thanks, guys.
Thanks once again to Taylor Hale for sitting down with us and telling us all about her experiences in the world of reality television, including becoming a champion of Big Brother and being coached by yours truly. And thanks to everybody for listening today. We are going to be back on Monday with an incredible Digging Deeper. There's a lot of stuff going on in the Sauce Wars right now in the official Bachelor Nation podcast, so be sure to stay tuned for that. And before we go, as always, what is that Dwab at? It has been 7,508 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be our beloved game.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then